I ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Last week I was preaching on the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I want us to continue that theme today. It would be a very beneficial study, I believe, for each and every one if you were to go through the invitations of Christ. I know that you would be blessed from that study as you investigate the different places and the circumstances where Christ offered that invitation to those around. There are quite a number in the Gospel of John. And throughout the Gospels, the Lord said to Andrew, come and see. The question came, Lord, where dwellest thou? And he said, come and see. And abiding in the presence of the Lord, that time with Christ made such an impact upon Andrew that he followed the Lord from that time forth. And he went out then and invited others, his brother, to come and see the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other instances. The Lord says, come and drink. The water that I give freely. He said to Peter by the Sea of Galilee, come and dine. And he invites us to fellowship with himself. You think of the word to Zacchaeus as he climbed the tree to get a view of Christ. The Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, I'm going to your house today. And then you have, of course, Peter walking on the water. As the Lord came to him, he said, Lord, bid me come. And the Lord said, come. And Peter stepped out in faith. You have the case of Martha and Mary, where Mary was called. Martha returns, telling Mary, the Master is come. And he calls for thee. And then you have the case of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. What a word of power that is. And so the Lord invites us to come. Come for fellowship. Come in faith. Come and taste and see that the Lord is gracious. And I want us to consider the word of Christ here. I believe this is a timely word. After the wedding yesterday and the celebration, you have in this chapter an invitation to come, for all things are ready. Let's read God's word together. We're coming to Luke chapter 14. As Christ enters into the house of a chief Pharisee, he begins to minister in that place. He heals a man with the dropsy. And then he says in verse 7, he put forth a parable to those who were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these sayings, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse 24. And with our Bibles open, let's just wait upon the Lord and ask His help as we come to His Word. Father in heaven, we come now to Thee and to this important time in our service. We pray, Lord, that we would have an open mind and heart to Your truth. Open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that You would be merciful unto us. Send out Thy sweet mercies. We pray, let Thy salvation come. We ask, Lord, that You would bless the ministry of Your Word. And may we be drawn to Thee. We thank Thee for the invitations of Christ. And so we still ourselves now, and we pray, Lord, that You would draw nigh to us as we endeavor to draw nigh to Thee. We pray for those outside of Christ today, that they would strive to enter in at the strait gate, that they would make their calling and election sure. Hear us now, we pray, and bless Your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 17 of Luke 14. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. Come, for all things are now ready. Jesus said, Come. He is the inviting Christ. Last week, we were taking some time to look at that tremendous Bible text in Matthew chapter 11 and the verse 28 where Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we were considering from that place the gracious invitation of Jesus. And notice that the Lord Jesus knows our situation perfectly well. He's acquainted with all our ways. Whatever our circumstances may be, the Lord is acquainted with all our ways. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And He knows all about our struggles. He knows about those things that weigh us down, that press us down, that overwhelm us. And He invites all that labor and are heavy laden to come to Him. In that, the Lord Jesus Christ manifests His loving care, His loving concern as He calls souls to find rest for their souls, for themselves, in Him. Rest is such a necessary thing, especially in a world of sin, a world of trouble, a world of unrest, a world of disturbance. There is much to cause us anxiety, sorrow, and trouble. Peace of mind is something Christ gives. And here there is not only the invitation, the manifestation of His love, but there's a full expectation in that place in Matthew 11 that what the Lord says he will do and what he says he will give, he will give. It's a word of promise. There's a guarantee in it. There's a full expectation of obtaining such rest. Those who come to Jesus Christ can know that rest. And this is a word of divine promise from the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, the sympathetic Redeemer who gave himself for us. And we noted last week that real heart rest is a spiritual, inward thing. Real heart rest is never to be found except in heart union with Jesus Christ. True satisfaction, contentment, rest is found in Him. And so the invitation, come unto me. We are to come by faith. All the benefits that Christians enjoy, they are received by faith, by coming to Jesus Christ. Receiving Christ is to find rest for your souls. We're to come believing. Believing is receiving. And we're to come to Christ. J.C. Ryle put it this way. He said, coming to Christ is coming to Him with the heart by simple faith. It is the act of the soul which takes place when a man, feeling his own sins and despairing of all other hope, commits himself to Christ for salvation, ventures on Him, trusts in Him, and casts himself wholly on Him. It's coming to Christ in simple faith. And he said, when a man turns to Christ, empty, he may be filled. When he turns to Christ sick, he may be healed. Hungry, he may be satisfied. Thirsty, he may be refreshed. Needy, he may be enriched. Dying, that he may have life. Lost, that he may be saved. Guilty, that he may be pardoned. Sin defiled, that he may be cleansed. Confessing that Christ alone can supply his need, then he comes to Christ, and coming, he finds rest. Rest for the soul. Rest for yourselves. We're to come by faith. Come by faith. Come to find rest, Jesus said. And as you take time to study the invitations of the Lord Jesus Christ, this word, come, come unto me, come, for all things are now ready. As you take time to look into the invitations of Christ, you will see that coming to Christ is the path to spiritual blessing, to spiritual enrichment. The rest that Christ gives is not like the peace of this world, but it is a rest that is substantial, a rest that is soul-satisfying, a rest that is real. It is peace of mind and peace of heart. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come, find rest. It is what the Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs called or described as divine contentment. He said it is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. It's that sweet surrender to the Lord God, submitting our life to Him and coming to Him, yielding to Him. We find rest for our souls. Divine contentment, the divine life, that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to Christ. That's what it is to come to Him. And we are guaranteed that rest as we, by faith in Jesus Christ, come to God. We can know that rest because there is in Him a sufficiency to meet all our needs. There is a fullness in Christ. You look again to Matthew and you learn that all things are committed into His hand by the Father. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He is a sovereign God. He rules over all. and all belong to Him. There is in Him a sufficiency to meet all our needs, a fullness that is not exhausted. And we, each and every one, must find our sufficiency, our satisfaction in Christ alone. He is the way of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's the way of life. And He is willing to show us the path of life because in His presence is fullness of joy. This is the only path of life. All other paths are paths of death and destruction. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So there is in Christ a sufficiency, a fullness to meet all our needs. I can say that with authority because our text today reveals that truth. In Luke 14, verse 17, the Master calls those who were invited and He says, "Come, for all things are now ready." Come, all things are ready. Christ's invitations suggest a path to spiritual blessing. They imply that there is a fullness in Him, and indeed there is a readiness in Him to supply that which is lacking, to supply our every want, to supply our every need. He says, "Come, all things are ready. All that you need, every provision has been made. Just come to me." And here again, our verse demonstrates this willingness. The willingness of Christ to bless. He's a gracious God. He's good. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. Come in repentance to Him. And He demonstrates the willingness here to bless. He waits to be gracious. He invites to His banqueting house. And His banner over us is love. His thoughts are thoughts of peace towards us and not of evil to bring us to an expected end. He has a plan and a purpose for us. And He would have us come to Him. Come, all things are now ready. You see in our text here that there is a readiness in Christ to bless abundantly. A readiness in Christ to bless abundantly. The prepared supper highlights that truth. All the necessary preparations had been made. The master of the house had made provision. The man of the house had made all the arrangements. The food had been purchased. The table had been set. The invitations had been sent out. He personally made sure that everything was in order. All the preparations were made. And so He invites the guest, "Come, for all things are now ready." And when you think of the marriage supper of the Lamb and the invitation that Christ puts before us to come to Him, that we would enjoy fellowship and feast with Him, He knocks at the door. And He would have us enjoy that fellowship with Him. And He really says, all the necessary provisions have been made. Just come. All that needs to be done is done. There was no work for the guests to do. They didn't need to bring anything. Everything was accomplished. All the arrangements had been made. The table is set. And He says, come. And friend, Christ has made all the arrangements for you, for your salvation. All that needs to be done is done. There's no need for you to work. You can't work for this salvation. There's nothing you can bring to the Lord that you would find favor with Him. Your works of righteousness will not do. He simply says, come, come as you are. The work is accomplished. The table is set. The invitations are sent. The guests are called. Just come. Come to me. All things are now ready. That tells me that there is no deficiency in Christ. All things are ready. He has made every necessary preparation for our salvation. He is the God-man, the mediator between God and man, who gave himself for us. And there's no deficiency in Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are made full, Colossians 2 says. We are made complete only in him. And he calls you to come. You see, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. And he said, it is done. It is finished. All things are now ready. The work is complete. Christ has provided for each and every one of us a full and a free salvation. A salvation that he offers to you today. And he has opened up the way. He has made every provision at great expense to himself. At great cost to himself. The cost of blood. The shedding of his own precious blood. The work is complete. So what shall we say to these things? Romans 8, 31 and 32. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. All things. All that we need for this life and the life to come. Freely give us all things. Christ has made every provision for us. By his obedient life, his sacrificial death, his active and passive obedience, where he came to fulfill all righteousness, his perfect life, his obedience to the Father's will, his fulfilling all righteousness on our behalf. And then in the end, laying down his life freely, voluntarily, as our substitute. There at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus paid for our sins, he was that propitiation, making atonement. And the triumphant cry went up from the cross, "It is finished. The work is done. Christ has made every provision for your soul today." And he says, come to me. At the cross, Jesus finished the work, making atonement for your sin. And there is then in Christ that readiness to bless you abundantly. He says, all things are now ready. All things are accomplished. All that you need, friend, is found in him. All that pertains to life and godliness. And his hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And he has provided that covering, that wedding garment, that righteous covering that covers all your sin, that makes you acceptable, that prepares you to come to his feast, to enter into the presence of God. He provides a covering for the soul, a garment of righteousness for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Come, all things are ready. But you also see in our passage here, secondly, that there is no plausible reason to refuse the invitation of Christ. He graciously invites, he says, come, everything's prepared, all's ready. And there's no reason why you should not come. No plausible reason to refuse the invitation of Christ. In our passage here, three refusals are recorded. One by one, those who were invited in the beginning, they began to make excuse. And it says in verse 18, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. Have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Yet another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And they all began to make excuse. Very shallow excuses, very lame excuses. For what man buys a parcel of land without first going to survey that land? Who would buy oxen without first looking them over and making sure of their size and their strength? And their fitness to plow and to pull that yoke. The third said he had married a wife and could not come. And had he, I suggest, said to the master, "Can my wife come along?" I'm sure the master would have graciously brought her in as well. But they all made excuse. They all refused the invitation. And those shallow excuses did not wash with the master. But in each case, it says they made excuse. It does not say they gave a reason. It says they made excuse. They made excuse. Because it becomes clear that really there is no plausible, acceptable reason to refuse the invitation of Christ. That there is no plausible reason to refuse the gospel of Christ. And nothing should be allowed to come between your soul and the Savior. There is nothing a man can give in exchange for his soul. And yet they all, one by one, began to make excuse. And yet how many of us put things, even legitimate things, lawful things, before the Savior in His place? We give them the preeminence and not Christ. Now, there's no sin in buying land or buying goods or taking a wife. There's no sin in that. Those are legitimate things, lawful things, but it is wrong to make any of those things a substitute for coming to Christ. Putting them in the place of Christ, they become hindrances to salvation. And friend, the Master is come and calleth for thee. He says, all things are ready. Dare you refuse the invitation of Christ? The word in Matthew's gospel is, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All things are now ready. You'll notice that all those who were called at first, they really appeared to give an indication that they would be in attendance. They appeared to indicate that they would be there. Because he says to his servant, he sent his servant at supper time, verse 17, to say to them that were bidden. The invitations had already gone out. It doesn't appear that they had refused. They had given an indication that they would be there. And now the time had come for the supper. And so he says, servant, go bring in those who were invited, who said they would come. Tell them to come, for all things are now ready. They all said they would come, but when it actually came to the time, they all began to make excuses. And perhaps you are one of those. You've been long invited. You know the gospel, but still you refuse to come. You've been making excuses. You've been putting it off. Maybe you say some other time. And you've been putting off a response to the gospel invitation. Maybe you're a young person. And you're saying to yourself, not now, some other time. I'm young. I have much to do. There are things I want to see, places I want to go. Things I want to get to myself, people I want to see. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'll come when I'm ready. But the Lord says, now, come. All things are now ready. This is the time. It's not to be put off. Maybe you made an early profession, a profession of faith. You made some kind of commitment to Christ. You said a prayer, but now you've gone back on your word. You gave an indication that you would be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It looked promising. But you've turned back. Were those words just empty words with no reality? Are you making excuses? Is there that empty pretense? Now you're making shallow excuses that really will not stand. And the Master says, come. He says, come now, because all things are ready. He's calling for you. You're to make your calling and election sure. Consider your ways, because God patiently waits. He graciously calls. The encouraging thing is here that there is yet room. There is yet room. The Master is come. He calls for you. He sends out His servant in verse 22. The servant did as his Lord commanded. It is done, and yet there is room. He says, go out again and compel them. Go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And friend, He's compelling you to come in today. Come, partake of this divine life. Come and sit at my table. Come and feast with me. Come and dine. Come, all things are ready. But you refuse Him. You make excuse. But friend, there's still room. There's still time to repent. Still time to come. See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh. Because I want you to notice also here the solemn result of refusal. You find it there in verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those which were bidden at the first shall taste of my supper. Those who were bidden, those who were invited, who appeared like they would come, made an indication that they would be there, and yet they made excuses. In the end, they would not be there. They would not taste of that supper. They would be shut out. The solemn result of refusal. Those invited who seemed to indicate they would be there were so taken with other things that when it came time, they were refused admittance to the feast. They were left outside the door, excluded from enjoying the gracious blessings of the host. And there will come a time when the door is shut. Friend, there is yet time. Here is the further invitation is given. Then go out. Go out to the highways and the hedges. Compel them to come in. We've been thinking of marriage in these days and how invitations are sent out. What is an invitation? An invitation, very simply, is a request to attend. The host requests the pleasure of your company. And here is the Lord, the host, requesting the pleasure of our company. And think about it. The one who is all sufficient, who is sovereign over all, the God of heaven and earth, and He's requesting our company. It's amazing. We are those poor, lame, blind sinners that are invited. And as we acknowledge our spiritual poverty, that we are bankrupt of any righteousness or anything that makes us acceptable to God to come into His presence. We see the need of righteousness in Christ. When we acknowledge our blindness and our lameness and come confessing our sins to Him, He will receive us. He will take us in. And so there is that request. He's requesting your company, your pleasure, your person, the pleasure of your company. And of course, it will be an occasion of joy. It says the wedding feast is always an occasion of joy, a time of celebration. And friend, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be a time of great celebration, a time of great joy. If you look at Revelation chapter 19, You will discover there in verse 6, the Lord says that it will be a time of gladness and joy. And John says in Revelation 19:6, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of many mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Come, for all things are now ready. It's going to be an occasion of great joy and blessing as we worship the Lord together. Covered in the righteousness of Christ, we are made acceptable. And here again is that opportunity given to you, an opportunity for fellowship, an opportunity to enter in. Opportunity knocks. It's now ready. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Christ says. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in and sup with him. And you see, there's something about an invitation. It's an opportunity for fellowship. It's an occasion of great joy, but an invitation requires a response. And an invitation, that response is often required by a certain deadline. There's a time coming when the door will be shut. The Lord says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Yet there is room. This is the day of grace, a day of opportunity for you. But friend, opportunities do not last forever. There's coming a deadline. And you can't cross that deadline. There will come a time when the door being shut, there will be no more admittance. No entry into the blessings of God. No entrance. And though you stand without a knock, the voice replies, Depart from me, I never knew you. And so he says, Come, come now, all things are now ready. Lost opportunities may never return. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Revelation chapter 22 and the verse 17, you have that exhortation. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's for you, friend. The whosoever. Whosoever will may come. All things are provided. Every provision has been made. Come as you are. You don't have to work. You don't have to bring anything or do anything. Just come to Christ and be saved. Because Christ's invitation suggests a path to spiritual blessing. They show His willingness to bless, His readiness to bless. There's a fullness that He's willing to bestow. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that refusal to come, what is it? It's an insult to Almighty God. It's a snub and an offense to the one who sends out the invitation. And friend, there really is no plausible excuse, no plausible reason why you should refuse the gospel of Jesus Christ, because only in Him will all your needs be met. And so He says, Come, all things are now ready. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. He's standing knocking. Will you not hear the call of Christ, the loving shepherd, who says, Come unto me. His sheep hear His voice. They know Him and they follow Him. Come, take up the cross and follow Christ today, and you will know truly that blessing that He gives, the blessing of peace and rest, knowing that your sins are pardoned, your sins are covered, you have on the garment of righteousness, and you are now ready for that great day. when you will enter into the eternal fellowship and rest that Jesus Christ has provided. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today.